Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Kuf Beis. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis as we draw ever closer to the end of Maseches Erev. Time to be mechazik ourselves to whatever we lost over Erev, wherever, you know, I'm talking to the wrong crowd to get people back into the Daf Yomi. Baruch Hashem, we're still in it. But personally, I'm going to try to go back into the Zichru challenge. I dropped it off with Erev, with Corona. So we should all make our own commitments to be mechazik, the learning for Pesach and Bez Hashem. So today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Shul Lezecher Nishmas, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And it's also sponsored by Judy and Donnie Israeli, Lezecher Nishmas, Judy's father, Yehuda Menashe ben Yeshaya Yitzchak HaKohen, Alav HaShalom, Julius Stolinsky, whose 14th yahrzeit is today, and Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to pick up with the mission on the bottom of Kuf Aleph and Beis, and we're going to discuss which bolts are Asur Midah Oraisa and which are Asur Midah Rabbanan and which are completely mutter to insert into a door on Shabbos. There are three types of bolts: those that are Asur Midah Oraisa, those that are Asur Midah Rabbanan, and those that are mutter. And obviously, there is much machlokas about what fits into what category. On the bottom of Amud Aleph and on the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to teach five different halachos about making a temporary ohel on Shabbos, and then all three Mishnayos on Amud Beis are going to relate to differences in halacha between Migdash and Medina. We have this principle called Ein Shvus B'Migdash, that there are certain things that are Asur Midah Rabbanan when done outside of the Migdash, but in the Migdash they weren't gozer Mishum Shvus. So we're going to talk about replacing a door pivot, and we're going to talk about replacing a bandage on a wound, and we're going to talk about repairing a string on a musical instrument. So in all three cases, in all three Mishnayos, we're going to talk about differences between Migdash versus Medina. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Neger sheyesh brosho gulustra. If you have a bolt that holds a door closed, that has something at the end that is a big piece that's usable to grind peppers with, or something like that. It's like it's a mortar that's attached to the end of the bolt, and therefore it's like a kli in its own right. Meaning, so you know that it's not something that necessarily is going to be put on the door and left on the door forever. It's a kli that's a usable kli that could be that's going to be taken off whenever you need to use it. That's how Rashi understands, at least. The Rambam writes that no, that the Barosh HaNeger, there's a Kimin Rimon O Taba'as, the Rambam writes, that there's some type of ring or a pomegranate-shaped thing that shows that it's not a regular beam that's going to be Asa B'Tiltel, that it's a Kli that's Miyuchad Dafka for locking the door. So it turns out that according to Rashi, it has to be actually usable for something else, whereas according to the Rambam, no, it just needs to be recognizable that it's not a regular beam, and that it's something that's specifically meant for locking a door, as opposed to a beam that would be used in construction or something like that. And therefore, so it's machlokas Rashi and the Rambam whether it needs to be usable for something else. But either way, let's assume like Rashi. So it has this glustra at the end, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're still not allowed to put it into the door on Shabbos to lock the door, because even with the glustra, there's still a concern that it appears like bone. If we can just ask everyone to mute themselves, it's a little distracting and getting some feedback. That it looks like bone, since it's not kosher and tully on the door like all other. Again, if we could ask everyone to mute themselves, please. Since it's not kosher and tully on the door like other bolts that are used for locking a door, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter because it's very clearly recognizable that you're not going to keep it there forever. So that's why we know that it's not l'shem binyan, that it's not going to be there forever. So I'm Rabbi Lazar, Maisa Beis HaKnesses Shebet Tveria. So Rabbi Lazar says, yeah, well, there was a story in the Beis HaKnesses Shebet Tveria. It means the Beis HaKnesses in Tveria. That they used such a door bolt and they had no problem with it because they didn't know the halacha. And then Rav Gamliel and the Zekenim had to come and correct them and tell them that what they were doing was wrong. Rabbi Yossi Omer Isur Ubar Rav Gamliel Vazkenim Ve'etiru Lehen. That no, it was the opposite. The Maisa was that they were no Isur, and that was a mistake. And Rav Gamliel and the Zekenim had to come and tell them that what they were doing was actually correct. So who are so we had a machlokas over here between Rabbi Yossi, who said it's mutter, and the previous Tana was Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gaon Yaakov, the Rashash, the Duktuke Sofrim say that the correct Girsa is not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Elazar, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, not Rabbi Eliezer. That would be Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. How do I know that? Because the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Sadivav tells us that this Machlokas Tanoim happened in person. It was Panim El Panim. It wasn't that someone heard something that was said in a previous generation and then later disagreed with it. No, it was a Machlokas that happened face to face. And it's not Shaykh that Rabbi Yossi, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, would disagree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it must be Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua and not Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. But either way, we have this Machlokas, and then we have this story, and it's Machlokas exactly how the story happened. But the Rabbi Yossi's version of the story is that the people in Tveria thought it was Aser, and Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim had to correct them and tell them that it's Mutter. Tosfos over here in Dibur Maskil Rebbe quotes that, wait a second, there are a number of places in Shas where it tells us that if people are knowing an Isser on certain things, you're not allowed to be Matirit Bifnehem. In front of them, you're not allowed to go and be Matirit. And here people are knowing an Isser, and apparently they went and corrected them and told them that it's Mutter. So Tosfos says, no. The Isser to be Matir Bifnehem is if you know that Minadin it's Mutter, and they're being they know that Minadin it's Mutter, and they're being Machmir Alatzmam. They accepted upon themselves a particular Chumrah. So that's a Minag. But when they made a mistake, they just didn't know the Halacha, so they were Machmir because they thought something was Aser when it really is totally Mutter, then you're allowed to tell them what the Halacha is. And that comes up in a number of different Rishonim and Achronim, that when the Gemara says Dvarma Mutarim, that Shiyesh Shanagu Bamisir, they now let it be Matir Bifneim, that's only by things that they know are Mutter, but they take upon themselves as a Chumrah. That's what the Tashbetz writes in the Tshuva as well. But if they're clearly mistaken, says the Tashbetz, we see from our Gemara that you're certainly allowed to correct them and tell them that that which they think is Aser is really Mutter. But he says that even if it's a Minag B'Taus, you have to be careful who you're talking to. Sometimes if you're talking to people who are not B'nai Torah, so even on a Minag B'Taus, and you know that they're making a mistake with their Minag, but they might think, oh, just like this Chumrah is a mistake, the Chumrah of, I don't know, not doing Malach on Shabbos is also a mistake, or something, the Chumrah not to kill people is also a mistake. Meaning they may not, those are extreme examples, obviously, but they may not know where to draw the line in terms of thinking that everything is just a Chumrah. Rabbi Tam has a Charifos in the Chuvus Bali Atosos and Simon Yud Aleph. He says on a particular change in the Nusach of a Get, he says Gam Masha Kasafta Shein L'Shanos HaMinag Mipnei Alaz. He says you're very concerned about changing the Minag because people are going to be Motzi Laz, that the Gittin are problematic. He says Minag Zeh Gehenim L'Mafreya. He says the Minag is Osios Gehenim, a famous comment of Rabbeinu Tam. Sheim Toim Nagu Chachamim Lo Nagu. Just because people who made a mistake had such a minog, the Chachamim never had such a minog. And he says, even a minog hogun is not oker halacha unless it's halacha rofefes biyodenu. And he says, in this particular issue is a ta'us gedola. So there are cases of a minog ta'us, meaning not every minog is binding. There's such a thing of minog osios gehenim, of minog being something that's a minog ta'us that leads a person in the wrong direction. So this example that when they were being knowing iser b'ta'us, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Gamliel, and the Zakenim were matir for them, told them that they were doing the wrong thing. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, benitel bu'ugdo, if the door bolt is something that is tied onto the door and hanging from the door with a very strong rope, and so much so that if you were to lift it up by the rope, it would not snap, so kuli amalo pligi. Then both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lozer would agree that you're allowed to use such a door bolt on Shabbos, because since it's so well tied onto the door, it's clearly designated for that purpose, and it's not going to be a violation of binyan, just like opening and closing a door is not a violation of binyan. This is clearly part of the structure of the door. Ki pligi, what is the case where they have machlokas b'she'eino nitel b'igudo? When it's tied onto the door with a rope, but if you try to move it with that rope, it's going to snap. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, but it has this glustra at the end of it, so it's nicker that you're not going to leave it there forever. Because like Rashi said, you're going to want to use it for a mortar, for a pestle, for something because it's an independent functional kli, and that's enough of a hacker. And Marsa, Rabbi Elazar holds, lo, that since it cannot be carried by the igud, by that which connects it to the door, then it's not going to be mutter, even though it's Torah's kli alav, even though it has the status of a kli. Okay, now the Mishnah is going to discuss, again, talking about bolts and locking doors, but over here we're going to start making chilukim between Mikdash and Medina, because there is this principle of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that there are certain things that are asur midrabanan outside of the Mikdash, but in the Mikdash itself they're not going to be asur midrabanan. The Kesef Mishnah explains in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, because Kohanim's Rizim Heim, that we can trust the Kohanim to be extra careful, and therefore they don't need extra siyagim. All the isurim, so many isurim midrabanan, are there as a siyag l'doraisa, fence around the Torah to protect us from violating the Torah. Well, the Kohanim didn't need those extra fences. So the Marsha just points out that we're about to have, the Meiri writes as well, we're about to have a series of Mishnayos that all distinguish between Mikdash and Medina and highlight this point of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash here as we approach the end of Maseches Erevin. So says the Marsha, why do we have all these Ein Shvus B'Mikdash inyanim over here at the end of Maseches Erevin? Because Erevin was a takana of Shlomo HaMelech. And he's the one that said that the takanos of Melech Shlomo and all other chachamim, we have to be makel b'makom tzarech. Chakor davar means we need to be choker, we need to investigate and be makel when called for, when it comes to dinim d'rabbanan. So Chazal thought that it's appropriate at the end of Maseches Erevin to have this chilek between dinim d'araisa, where the chacham do not have any leeway and they can't say, oh, Kohanim's reason, Mikdash, we can be makel. No, there's no leeway on dinim d'araisa versus dinim Rabbanan, where you have the leeway to do it. So at the end of this Masechta, which is all about Din Rabbanan, essentially, it's all about Erevin. The majority of the Masechta is the Rabbanan. Rav Shachta always told us that Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to give Shir in Moriah, he spent, I don't know, years learning Masechta's Brachos. And at the Siyum, he said, wait a minute, most of Masechta's Brachos, except for Kriya Shema, most of Masechta's Brachos is about Dinim de Rabbanan. He said, so were we only Mekayim Mitzvah de Rabbanan of Talmud Torah when we learned Masechta's Brachos? No, it's a Mitzvah d'Oraisa of Talmud Torah, even as we're learning about Dinim D'Rabbanan, but we have to recognize that there are differences between Dinim D'Rabbanan and Dinim D'Oraisa. So says the Mishnah Negra Nigrar, you have a bolt that locks the door, and it's tied onto the door with a long rope to the point that it's dragging on the ground, that the bolt is dragging on the ground, so it doesn't appear to be tied to the door, so then it's not going to be a violation of Bona Mid'Oraisa to lock the door with it, because it is connected to the door already, but it's at least near a kibona. So Noel and Bob and Mikdash of a lobe Medina. It would be an Isra Midrabanan to use it in the Medina, but therefore in the Mikdash they weren't goes. There's such a shvus. Va'amunach, but if it's not tied on at all, it's just sitting in a corner somewhere, it's an independent piece that you stick onto the door, kan v'kan osra. That's going to be also both by Medina and by Mikdash, because that is in fact a violation of the Malacha of Bona on the Dal Raisa level. That is how Rashi understands that, and the reason it says kan v'kan Osir really could have said kan v'kan chayiv, but since in the Reisha we're matir in the Migdash, when it's nigra, when it's dragging on the ground, so we use the lashon of heter, and therefore the flip side is Osir, even though really it could have been chayiv, because we're talking about a melacha d'oraisa of bona. Tosos Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kufcha Vav Amud Aleph and the Tosos HaRash say that no, it can't be that there's an issur d'oraisa of bona by something that's meant constantly to use as a lock on the door to be put in and taken out, and that you're not Vatel there, even if there's no heker. So he says, no, the Isra over here is one of Tiltul Muktza, and that's the Shvus that the Chachamim hold, that were goes there even in a Mikdash on such a Shvus, according to the Chachamim. The whole issue is only one of Tiltul Muktza, and therefore, when we say Vamunach Kan V'Kan Aser, we dafka use the term Aser, not Chayiv, because it's not a Malacha, it's only Muktza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda says that he disagrees with the whole assessment. Hamunach Mutar B'Mikdash Anigra B'Medina. He says that if you're taking a bolt that is not tied on at all, it's Munach, it's an independent entity, there's no Issur D'Oraisa, it would only be an Issur D'Rabbanan, and if it's tied on, there's not even even a Nisa Drabanan. So if it's Munach, since it's only a Nisa Drabanan, it's Mutter B'Migdash, just not in the Medina. And if it's Nigrar, it's dragging on the ground and it's clearly connected to the doorway, that's Mutter even B'Medina. There's not even a Nisa Drabanan. So Rabbi Yehuda moves everything over one step, Lakula. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Negra Nigra Shanal and B'Migdash of Allah B'Medina. What are we talking about when we talk about a Negra Nigrar, this dragging bolt that you're allowed to use in the Migdash, but not in Medina, according to the Rabbanan? If it's tied onto the door, it's hanging from the door, but the other end of it is resting on the ground. So you see, it's clearly hanging from the door. It's not totally resting on the ground, but one end is resting on the ground. So that's what we're going to say, that it's also midrabban, and in the Migdash, it's going to be mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ze af b'medina mutter. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, if that were the case, if it's hanging on the ground, even in the Medina, that would be mutter, because it's so obvious that it's part of the doorway. You want an example of something that you're not allowed to use to lock a door outside of the Mikdash, but you may use it in the Mikdash. That's if it's a Nagar Hamunach. It's something that you take off entirely. It's not at all connected to the door. You put it somewhere else when you put it away. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by the Negar HaNigrar, that if it's tied onto the doorway, there's no problem whatsoever, even b'medina, as long as it's tied onto the door, it's fine. But it does have to be tied onto the door itself. If it's tied onto the door post or to the something else, then Rabbi Yehuda would not be matir. That Tosfos points out on Kovalvam Beis in Dibra Maslaki that last line is not about the Psak Halacha. That's just explaining Rabbi Yehuda himself. The Rabbi Yehuda himself is matir when it's kosher to even though Rabbi Yehuda himself is matir when it's kosher to the lock or to the doorpost, we don't paskin that way. Meaning, we're not saying that even though Rabbi Yehuda himself is matir, we don't paskin that way. We're explaining Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying Rabbi Yehuda himself was never matir unless it's kosher to the door. Kosher to the doorway is not good enough. So that last qualifier is not on the phrase halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that we're limiting where we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. No, we paskin entirely like Rabbi Yehuda, but we're just explaining what does Rabbi Yehuda in fact hold. So says Gemara, Eini, is that really so? Like that what Rav is telling us, that it has to be dafka kosher to the delas. Rabbi Tavla ikla l'machuz. Rabbi Tavla once went to the city of Machuz and he saw that the bolt was tied to the lock of the door, and they used to and they used it on Shabbos for Amav Lomidi, and he didn't correct them at all. Now, according to Rava, even Rabbi Yehuda would ask for such a thing because it wasn't connected to the door itself. So says Mara, Unital Biyigudo Hava, that particular bolt was tied with a very strong rope where you could move it with the rope and the rope wouldn't tear at all. So such a kesher would be matir even if it's not tied to the door itself. Rava was talking about where it was a thinner rope that would have been more likely to tear or to snap if you would have tried to lift it by the rope. Rav Avi Iklan Narda, Chazilu Gavra Dava Kokater Begemi. He saw a guy tying the bolt to the door using a gemi, using a reed. Amar Din Lo Nitrok. He said that you're not going to be allowed to use even though it's tied, because it's tied with something that's so flimsy that it's ki'ilu, it's munach. It's like it's munach on the ground, because that rope is not going to last very long. Bayer Rebbe Zera Nikmas Mahu. What if you have something that's meant, you have by the doorstep, by the threshold, there's a hole in the ground that's meant for putting the bolt into that hole in the ground. Is that going to be more chomer? So I'm Rav Yosef, mighty bailei, lo shmirle hadatanya. What kind of question? What kind of suffix? Don't you know the brisa that nishmat aser, that if the door bolt comes off of the rope that it was tied onto the door with, the rope snaps or something like that, you're not allowed to use it. Nikmas mutter, but if it's nikmas, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Amar nikmas afal pi she'enu nishmat aser, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says nikmas, even if it's not nishmat, it's not snapped, it's still going to be Asur v'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halach Rabbi Yehuda b'nikmas, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by nikmas that you're not allowed to use it. So I don't understand, why do you have a suffix what the halach is by nikmas where it goes into the ground? We know that it's a machlokes, and we know that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says that that it's going to be asur. V'taim amai, what's the reason that it's asur to use it? Amar Abayi mishum demechzi kabona, that since it gets stuck into the ground, it looks like bona more than something that you would just stick into a hole that's on the threshold of the door to keep it. But if it's a mamish goes all the way into the ground, then it looks like a nisr of bonus. So that's a nisr midrabanan, and therefore there's nothing to have a suffix about. He asked the following: what if you make a handle on the door bolt that's not tied on at all, but you make a handle to make it easily to pick up and put down, so it becomes like a kli? So what's the din? Are you allowed to use it even though it's not tied on? Can a handle replace the fact that it's tied on? So Malay, Bukhna Kamrit, you're asking about something that like a type of kli that you would use to crush wheat? That's pasha that you're allowed to lock a door with something like that, meaning you're describing a kli that's functional for other purposes. So that doesn't look like bona at all. It looks like a kli that you just put in the way of the door. See, in Maram Ram Nechum Barado, Asalo Beis Yad Mutter. And in fact, they taught in the Beis Medrash that if you make a Beis Yad, you make a handle on it, then it's taka going to be Mutter. Hausha Risa, the Gemara brings halachas now about locking doors and with large kelim. Hausha Risa, there's a large beam, Davis Bei Rabbi Pedas, that was in the house of Rabbi Pedas, Tav Medalu Bei Asara V'Shadle Adasha. They needed 10 people to lift it up off the ground and to put it in to block the door, to lock the door. V'lam L'vlo Midi, and Rabbi Pedas didn't say anything to them, meaning he allowed them to do that on Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Pedas said, the reason I didn't say anything is because Torah's Kli Alaha. It's something that could be used as a bench. It's something that people could sit on. It has the status of a kli. And Mela, since it has the status of a kli, it's not going to be muktza. Tosos asked the kasha that Masechta Shabbos, Rav Yosef says about Rav Yosef asur for Abaye to move a kaveres gedola, a large basket, because since it was so big, it loses the shame kli and it becomes muktza. So Tosos says, I don't understand. This lechora is a very large thing that we're talking about over here. They're moving this bench. You needed 10 men to move it. So wouldn't that constitute a large kli that becomes mukta? So how can we say, I didn't say anything to them because it's a kli? Masechah Shabbos, we say that according to Rav Yosef, it's a very large kli. It becomes mukta. So it says that the beam that's mentioned over here, they used to move around even on the weekday to lock the door. As opposed to over there, we're talking about something that they were never metaltel. However, Tosfos Masechah Shabbos answers differently. And Tosfos Masechah Shabbos says, Ein achinami. It's a machlokas between two sugyas. And we paskin like our sugya that the weight alone is not going to be mevatel shem kli. So big nafkamina between the two tosin. Tosis over here seems to assume that weight will be mevatel shem kli unless it's something you happen to move on a weekday as well. Whereas Tosis Masechta Shabbos says, no, it's a machlokas, and we paskin that the weight of a kli does not take away the shem kli, and it's therefore not going to be muktzah on account of weight alone. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Ches, if Beis, we paskin that Godel and Mishkal, if something weighs a lot or is very large, it's not mevatel l'shem kli, it does not necessarily make it asur betiltel. It could be, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that if it's something that if you were to move it, the whole thing would break, so then it's really kavua b'mekamo, that would make it asur betiltel, that would taka make it a muktzah problem. Says Gemara, he has sisa, another large kli, there was a mortar, David Bei Mar Shmuel, that was in the house of Mar Shmuel, David Machzakas Adriba, that was that would hold 15 sa'a, which is a huge volume, Shara Mar Shmuel L'mishtia Adasha, and Mar Shmuel allowed putting it by the doorway to close off the door. Amar Torah's Kli Alah says it has the status of a Kli, it's not Mukta. Shalach Le'Ram Bar Yecheska L'Rav Amram Neymu L'Mar Mehalein Mili Malyasa Damad L'An Mishmed Rav Asi B'Kipi Da'arba. He says, can you tell me some good Torahs about tents over boats on Shabbos, that, you know, whether you're allowed to make such a tent on Shabbos. So Shalach Le, so Rav Amram sent back, Kachiyam Rav Asi, I'll tell you, Rav Asi taught the following. Hani Kipi Da'arba, those tents that they make, canopies that they make over boats, the Bizman Shiesh Ben Tefach, if there's already a Tefach of width, Inami, Ein Ben Tefach, Ve'ein Ben Zelo Zeshlosha, or there's not yet a Tefach of width of a canopy, but the poles themselves are within three Tefachim of each other, and therefore you have a sense of Lavut, so that's like you have a canopy of a Tefach. If you have all that from before Shabbos, lemachar mevi matzela sufaris aleihen. Then the next day, you're allowed to bring a mat and put it over the top of it because you're allowed to extend an oel arai. If the oel arai exists from before Shabbos, and the definition of oel is the width of a tefach, you can then extend it on Shabbos. So my time of mosav oel arayu v'shaper dami, that it's a mosav oel arai. You're not making it mitchili, you're not making it original, you're not making a new oel arai. If it has a tefach mibod yom, it already is an existing oel, and therefore v'shaper dami, it's mutter to do such a thing. Hanu Dichri, there were these rams, the Havalei Ravuna. Ravuna owned these animals, and that these animals had certain needs that required making an oel over them. Why? To be mamabayutula, during the daytime when it got very hot, they needed shade, ubaleli boavira, but at nighttime they really needed as much air as possible. So they used to make a canopy over them during the day, make a tent around them during the day, and at night they would take it down. So asal kamei de Rav, so Ravuna asked Rav, what should we do on Shabbos? So amalei, zil kro. Go before Shabbos when the canopy is up, and when you want to remove it on Erev Shabbos, v'shayir b'tefach. Don't remove it entirely. Leave the tefach there. L'machar pashto mosav al olarayu shaper dami. And then the next day you could spread out the rest of the canopy because you see you already have a tefach there, and that's considered mosav al olaray. And mosav al olaray is totally mutter. So Amar Rav Mishum Rebbe Chiya Vilon, go on the topic of canopies and olaray. If you have something that's a curtain that's spread to block a doorway, mutal l'matosa, you're allowed to hang that and spread that out on Shabbos. Umutal l'parko b'Shabbos, and you're allowed to take it down on Shabbos, because there's no iser d'rabbanan of making o'el arai unless it's a canopy, it's a roof. But just minatzah to hang a curtain, that's not a violation of making an o'el arai. That's how Rashi explains. Tosos m'sechah Shabbos and daf kuf chaf hayim beis says that when we're talking about a mechitza hamateres, like a mechitza that's going to make a sukkah kosher, or a mechitza that's going to make an area into Rosh Hashanah that's going to allow you to be metaltel, then there's an iser even if it's a mechitza min atzad and it's not a gag, even if it's a wall, and you're not allowed to make that on Shabbos, even if it's temporary. It's only if it's not a mechitza hamateres, it's a mechitza l'tzniusa bi'alma, you're just doing it for privacy, but it's not actually matir anything halachically, only in such a case is it going to be mutter to hang such a thing on Shabbos. And Tosfos writes that according to Rashi, the Rashi disagrees and holds that mechitza is never going to be an isra at all, even if it's a mechitza materis. So that's the discussion in the Achronim, whether that's correct, that that's what Rashi holds. It could be that Rashi even agrees with Tosfos, that a mechitza materis is going to be asra as well. But certainly a mechitza that's hung with tznius bi'alma is not going to be a problem. So this led to a major discussion in the poskim. What about a parochas of an Aron Kodesh? If it falls down on Shabbos, can you put it back up? Are you allowed to take it down on Shabbos? So the Chumash Sedashin has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Samaches, where he's midayik from Rashi that a parochas of an Aron Kodesh, you're not allowed to spread out on Shabbos. And the Beis Yosef disagrees, and he says Rashi is telling us that it's mutter even if it's kavua, because it's only really attached on the top; it's not really attached on the bottom, so it's not really so kavua. Even though it's kavua, it's meant to stay there, but it's not physically kavua. But if you fasten it really well, if they somehow have a parochas which is attached top and bottom and somehow slides open, so that would be aser. But he says parochas of Aron Kodesh is only mechuber mitzad echad, says Beis Yosef, that's mutter. Mishabura paskins like the Beis Yosef. Chaznish is machria like the Chumas Hadeshen, if it's even if it's only mechuber mitzad echad, and he says, but we could be matter by parochas of Aron Kodesh because it's the derech to be machluf lekavod Shabbos. Well, we're machlif for Yom Narayim, but Lekavod Shabbos, I don't know, we don't switch the parochas. So Chazanish says, since you're always putting it in and out, taking it in and out, so therefore it's going to be mutter. We don't really take it in and out so much. And also, in Orchel Shabbos, Rav Rubin just points out, you have to be careful, because there are different types of attachments. I mean, over here, this is just a shower curtain with rings on it. So that's easy, right? Meaning that's probably mutter to take down and to put up. But some of them, they're on a track, and it's really very, very tightly connected. So that's probably going to be much more considered much more mechubar and much more of a problem. Okay, kilas chasanim. So you have a canopy over a bed. Mutal l'porkel l'ntosu b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put it up, take it down, and put it up on Shabbos. Amrav Shesh Bredavidi Lo Amaran El Shein Begaga Tefach. That's only that when we say that it's mutter to put it up entirely. That's only if even when you put it up, it's not a tefach of width. Avol Yesh Begaga Tefach Aser. But if at the top it's a tefach wide, that's going to be Aser. The Chein Begaga Tefach Lo Amaran El Shein Pachs Mishlosha Samuch Begag Tefach. Not only at the very tip where it comes up to a point, should it not be a tefach wide, but even within three tefachim at the top, it shouldn't go out to a tefach of width, because that also would be considered an ohel. Avol Yesh Begaga Mishlosha Samuch Begag Tefach. But if within three tefachim of the top of the canopy, it's you have a tefach of width, then it's going to be aser to do it, because through that lavud of three tefachim, it's considered that you have an ohel. V'chein Begag Mishlosha Samuch Begag Tefach Nami La Amaran. And even when it's when you don't have within three tefachim one tefach of width, Lo Amaran Ela She'ein B'Shipua Tefach. That's only if from one end to the from the middle to one end, it doesn't go a tefach out. Avol Yesh B'Shipua Tefach. But from the middle to each end, it goes out at least a tefach. Shipua Olim Kolim Dami. That's considered to be Shipua Olim. That's considered to be an ohel. And therefore, if that would be considered that you made an ohel. So essentially, from forget about three tefachim down, all the way down, if it goes out at least one tefach on each side, by the time it gets to the bottom, that's already considered, oh well, that's too much, even if it comes to a point on the top. So Rashi says, wait, I understand, this is supposed to go over a bed. If it's not allowed to go out more than two tefachim, how could a person sleep on such a bed? Two tefachim is, you know, that it's that big. So how's it shayach? So that's why Rashi drew this picture over here, that it's like a picket fence, right? It goes, it means that it's that each point doesn't go out more than a tefach in each direction, but there are many points next to each other, and that's why how they cover the bed. So now, says the Gemara, Rav Shish Rei Ravidi, Siyaga Sharid, if you have a felt hat, it's mutter to go out with it on Shabbos. I have a Tanya Asr, but we have a Brisa that says you're not allowed to. Lo Kasha, Hadis Beitefach, Hadalas Beitefach. The Brisa says you're not allowed to. It's talking about that it has a brim that's a tefach, and therefore that brim is made to protect you from the sun, to provide you with shade, and therefore that's considered Asiyas Ohel, and that's going to be Asr. That's Asr Midrabban, even though there are no walls on it, because anytime it's made dafka for that which is underneath it, to protect that which is underneath, that's going to be an ohel. And that's what the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Shinal Sivkat Nanal, if it's quoted by the Mishnah Brura, that even though it doesn't have a defanos, but you have a baseball cap, let's say, that has a tefach of a brim, or the hats, you know, some people wear very wide brimmed hats, where the brim is a tefach, so if it's there to protect you from the sun, that the sun doesn't get in your eyes, which is what a baseball cap is there to protect you from, maybe the brims of the hats also is there to protect you from, that's going to be a problem. So this is a real question then. How come people do this? So the Narcho Shabbos, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, that if it's the Derech Ba'osamakum, that they wear hats that way, because that's the style, and people often don't think of it in terms of the sun and protecting their eyes from the sun, then it's going to be fine. Meaning, well, what's people's kavana when they put on a wide brimmed hat? Does someone go to the store and say, no, I need the wider brim because the sun gets in my eyes? No, unlikely, right? They wear sunglasses and the sun gets in their eyes. They get the wider brim if that's what's in style in that decade, and they'll get a narrower brim when that's what's in style. So when that's the issue, Rav Yasser said that's not a problem. I'm sorry, where am I? So we said that that's only where are we up to? So Elamayatza, right, so Hadalas Batavra, Elamayatza, so if that's the case, that you're not allowed to make that the Isra of a CSOL is even on an OL that's made with clothing, Sharbe Beglime Tefach, if a person puts his talus over his head in a way that he leaves a tefach of overhang over his head, Hachinami Dasr, that's going to be Asr as well. That can't be. It can't be that you can't put your talus, you have to be careful when you put your talus over your head, that you don't have a tefach of overhang. Ella Lo Kasha. No, the whole way of resolving the stira is that when Rav Shisha says that you're allowed to go out with a hat, that's on that where it's mehadek, where it's attached, it's fastened on very well to your head, so it's not going to easily fall off. The brisa does not ask it, is talking about when it's not muhudak, so Rav Shisha, a wind is going to come, it's going to blow it off of your head, and then you're going to pick it up and you're going to carry it, dalet amos in Rosh HaSarabim. That is how Rashi understands, that mehadek, lo mehadek, is about how connected it is to your head, and all about about the concern of going down the Rambam Shusram. Rabbi Chananel says that even the Maskaras HaSugya, it's still about Ohel. It's just the Brisa and the Memra of Rav Shisha are talking about where it's a Tefach wide. And the Gemara, when it says Mahadik, it means what kind of material is it made out of? Is it made out of like a hard felt material? Is it made out of more flimsy material? So if it's a hard material, that's going to be problematic. But if it's a more flimsy material, like a talus, that's not going to be problematic. And if that's correct, the Rashi points out, you have to take out the word Ella, because we're not actually changing anything. We're still talking about making it an Ohel. Okay, says the Mishnah, Machzirin Tzira Takhtam B'Mikdash, you can put back a door with the bottom hinge in the Mikdash, Avalo B'Medina, the pivot, Avalo B'Medina, but not in Medina, because it's Nisidra Banan. Ha'elyon Kan V'Kan Asr, but to actually connect it on the top, with the top pivot, that's going to be Asr, even in the Mikdash, because that's apparently a violation, Mida Oraisa of Bona. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'elyon B'Mikdash Ha'Takhtam B'Medina, one side, step more Lakula, that the Elyon is only in Nisidra Banan, and therefore that's Mutter to do in the Mikdash, and the Tachton is Heter Gomer. So Tanra Banatzir, Delashi de Teva Migdal, you have a pivot of a Delashi de Teva Migdal, a door of a closet. So B'Mikdash Matzirin, in the Mikdash you're allowed to put it back, the Medina Dochkin, and the Medina you could stuff it in place, into the Nekev, because that's not even Nisidra Banan. Uve Elyon Kan V'Kan Lo Yachzir, but the upper pivot, you're not allowed to put back at all, because that's real binyan, gzera shamiyitka, because of a gzera that you might come to bang it in with a hammer. V'im taka chayev chatas, and if you do taka bang it in with a hammer, then you're going to be chayev chatas. Shal bor v'shal dus, but if it's a pivot over a doorway of a bor or a dus, v'shal yatzia, which are not kelim, these are things that are mechuber lekarka, then lo yachzir. Then you're not allowed to put it back at all, not the elyon, not the tachto, not the medina, not the migdash, because whenever you're adding on something that's already mechuber lekarka, that's going to be bona on a daraisa level. And im hechzir chayev chatos, and therefore if you do it, you're going to be chayev chatos for putting it back there. Machzir retia b'migdash, says the Mishnah, you're allowed to replace a bandage in the migdash. Meaning, why would they have to take off the bandages? Because they needed to do avoda. You're not allowed to have a chatitza between the bigdei kohuna and their skin. So they would remove the bandages to do the avoda. Now they want to put the bandage back on. So you're allowed to do that in the migdash, avalo b'medina, but not in the medina, because it's a chashash of mimareach, that you're going to come to take an ointment and rub it on your skin before you put you'll put some bacitracin on or whatever before you put the bandage back on. V'im betchila, but if it wasn't, you never had a bandage there before, you're just putting on the bandage in the first place, kan v'kan aser, that's also even in the migdash. So tan rabban, retia shapir shemel gabi maka, machzirin osa b'shabbos. If you have a bandage that fell off of a maka, you could put it back on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, huchluka lamata, dochka lamaila. If it slipped a little bit down, you could push it up. Lamaila, dochka lamata. If it slipped up, you could push it down. You're also allowed to pull off the bandage part of the way and clean off the wound. And then pull off the other half of the bandage and clean off the wound that way. Because as long as you don't take off the whole bandage at one time. So peel off part of it, clean out the wound underneath it, replace that, peel off the other part, clean the area underneath it, and replace that. But the retia atzma, the bandage itself, you shouldn't clean, because then it's going to be memareach. You're going to be spreading out the ointment on it. And if you are memareach, you're chayev chatos. Memareach is a tolda of the melach of memachik. Memachik is when you take an animal hide that's rough and they scrape it down to make it smooth. So if you take any sort of cream or ointment and you smooth it out over your skin, that is also called mimarech. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein had the problem with, and Rav Shlomo Zalman and many other poskim had the problem with using toothpaste on Shabbos, because it's a cream that you're smoothing out, that it's a violation of mimarech. Am Rav Yudah Mishmuel Alach Rav Yudah, we paskin like Rav Yehuda, that you're not allowed to put back a bandage that fell off entirely on Shabbos. Am Rav Chisal Oshanu Ela Shapir Shal Gabi Kli, that's only if when it fell off, it went on a Kli. Avul Pir Shal Gabi karka, divrei hakol aser. But if it fell off and landed on the ground, everyone's going to hold that it's aser. That's not subject to any sort of machlokas. Amr mar bar Ravashi avakimna kame abba mar bar Ravashi says, I was once with my father Ravashi, nafle abe sadya, and he had a bandage that fell off and it went on the pillow that was by his head, v'kama hadule, and he put it right back on. So aminale, I said to him, lo savar lamar lahadam Rav Chisda, don't you know that Rav Chisda said that machlokas shapir shal gabe kli, that the whole machlokas is only if it falls on a kli. Avapir shal gabe karka aser, if it were to fall on the ground, everyone would agree that it's aser. But the machlokas is when it falls on a kli, and how do we pass into that machlokas? Varm Shmuel lach Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel passes like Rabbi Yehuda that machlokas. So even though your bandage fell on a kli, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. It's aser to put it back. So why are you allowed to put it back? See, he didn't say those words. It's aser. What did you do? He just gave him Mar Makomos, right? That's how you have to correct the father. You can't tell. You just give them Mar Makomos that we have this machlokas, and apparently that it's aser. So Amali lo Shmieli. So he said, my father responded that I never heard of such a memra, and what he meant to say is kolomar lo svirle. Of course he heard it. He meant that he disagrees, that he holds that the machlokas is dafka if it's pirish al gabe karka. That's where Rabbi Yehuda asers. But if it landed on a kli, he holds that everyone is going to agree that it's mutter, and therefore when it went on his pillow, he was perfectly comfortable putting it right back on. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Beis and Beis. Everyone have a great day.